This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks.
Believe it or not.
The strange, the bizarre, the unexpected.
Unbelievable? Believe it.
Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Incomparable, inimitable, illimitable, inestimable, introducer of immeasurable, incalculable, incredible impossibilities.
For more than a century, Ripley's has explored the world of the strange and unusual. It debuted in 1918 as a cartoon about oddities in sports called Champs and Chumps, created by Leroy Robert Ripley. Now it's an empire. Museums, multimedia series, books, and more. The latest addition to the Ripley's canon comes from two local journalists. It's a podcast called The Believe It or Not Cast. It's now available wherever you find podcasts, and joining Cincinnati Edition today are the creators of the Not Cast, senior editor at Modern Machine Shop and at Additive Manufacturing Magazine's Brent Donaldson. Welcome, Brent.
Thank you.
And Xavier University digital content strategist Ryan Clark. Welcome, Ryan.
Thanks so much.
And we also have WVXU radio and TV writer John Keysweater. Welcome, John.
Thank you.
What are your questions about Ripley's Believe It or Not? 513-419-7100 is the number to call to join us live. You can email talk at WVXU.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. We'll look for your comments and your tweets and try to get some of those into the show. And so, guys, we're having you on the show today because Ripley's Believe It or Not is back on television. The series is on the Travel Channel now with a new incarnation, and you're hosting a podcast that's based on this new series. So how did the two of you land this opportunity, Brian?
Well, I've actually been freelancing for Ripley's now for about 2 years, and Brent and I have known each other from working together in the past. We were both at NKU for several years.
Almost
together.
Almost a decade, yeah.
And one of the things that I think Brent really wanted to do while we were there was to do a podcast at NKU, right?
Mm-hmm. And yeah, and I did, yeah.
Unfortunately, I think you had a great idea to do a podcast for higher education, and I was totally on board with that. And then I left and went to work at Xavier. And to be honest, it was always one of the things that I regretted the most about leaving is that we never had a chance to work together like this.
Mm, yeah. Yeah. So I ran that podcast for a couple few years. And then Ryan, I think you sent me a text maybe this past October, something like that.
Something like that. Yeah. And it was just like, hey, how do you do a podcast?
Yeah.
Something like that.
And so you kicked around some ideas about how you could find another topic to explore?
What was interesting is I had actually talked to my editors at Ripley's, and I noticed that they didn't have a podcast.
And when you say you were freelancing for them, mm-hmm. you were creating content for their digital platform.
Correct. Yeah. So and I was talking to John about this earlier, but it kind of got to be where I was traveling around the country with my family, and we were going on like normal vacations and things like that. But I was planning them around really kind of interesting places, and I was pitching ideas to Ripley's, and so I was doing that, and it was a blast. And I wondered why they didn't have a podcast, and it turns out that they actually did have one in the past, but then I think due to not having enough people, not having enough manpower, they weren't able to continue doing that. And so that's when the light bulb kind of went off, and I was like, I wonder if maybe. And then I called Brent.
Yeah, so just to correct the record, they actually still do have Ripley's Weird Minute,
right,
which is literally a 60-second podcast.
Daily podcast.
Yeah, I think they still do that every day.
But
yeah,
you all are now doing a weekly podcast that runs about half an hour.
Yes.
So for the two of you who have been interested in this, what drew you to Ripley's?
I've been a fan ever since I was a kid. I had a lot of the books. I watched the TV show in the 80s when Jack Palance was host. I've just been kind of fascinated with the odd and strange and bizarre things that they've highlighted. So I didn't know that Ryan was freelancing for them. And when he called and said that they didn't have the podcast, didn't have a podcast, I think within a day, I was like, let's draw up a proposal.
I was so lucky. I mean, I didn't really know what the reaction was going to be. I knew what I wanted to do, and but I don't have the technical chops. You know, I'm a journalist. I go out, I find people, I interview. I can do that, but I didn't know how to put a podcast together. And Brent is fantastic. What he did for NKU was amazing, and I knew that if he got on board, that they were going to be impressed. And so take it from there.
Yeah. So, well, my interest, I've got two sons who are 11 and almost 15, and they have several of the Ripley's books. So, you know, Ripley's runs deep in my family.
You passed it down deep to the next generation. Yeah. Well, I mentioned here at the top of the interview that Ripley's dates back to this sports cartoon to more than 100 years ago, 1918. What is it about the Ripley's brand that has made it able to sustain all this time?
Well, that's a good question. I think you said it best on our first podcast. Do you remember what you said? People love the weird.
Yeah. So I think that there is something about odd and unusual things that draws us because of our, whether we recognize it or not, I think we each think that we're kind of unique and weird in a way. And I think that we're just naturally drawn to things that are odd and unusual.
And John, there aren't many series that have the kind of life that Ripley's has had. So why do you think people in two different centuries have been drawn to it?
Well, I think what Brent said, I mean, people love the weird. I mean, there's I've watched this new Bruce Campbell show. I remember the Dean Cain show. I don't remember Jack Palance that well. But, you know, there's always these people who are doing just really weird unexpected things. Last week they had a feature on two guys who wear totally metal suits and shoot lightning bolts back and forth of each other. It's like, you know, it's like 100,000 volts or something. I mean, but it was fascinating to watch. And I'm not really into this stuff, but I couldn't take my eyes away from it.
It's interesting though, because what people may have considered weird in 1940, we may not consider weird now. We may have different ideas of what's weird. And one thing that we were talking about in the control room before we went on is that we have social media now, which is often full of weird stuff. Here's something that's unexplained. This is a strange thing that somebody found, and whether it's true or not is different. But Ripley still as a brand has been able to maintain.
That's definitely true. Yeah. One of the things that always sucks me in is people who are overcoming some kind of disability or hardship or something like that to do something amazing. And I think there was a feature on the last television show, who's also going to be on our podcast in a couple of weeks, that Brent was able to get a great interview with. You want to talk about that?
Yeah. So Aaron Wallen, he goes by the stage name Short E Dangerously.
It was on this past Sunday on TV.
Yeah. So I went and hung out on a tour bus with a bunch of sideshow performers for several hours and interviewed him and got to see how a lot of pretty crazy sideshow tricks are done.
Explain his body shape.
Yeah. What does Short E Dangerously do?
Yeah. So he bills himself as the world's shortest stuntman daredevil. He was born with a condition that caused the lower half of his body to be amputated when he was 2 years old. So I think he's 3'3", something like that. He walks on his hands. He does stunts such as he'll climb up a ladder and then he will launch himself into a plate of broken glass that's on fire, you know, just land with his hands. And he does a bunch of other crazy things too. This episode is a little bit different. This was kind of creating a portrait of Shorty, just like the life of a half man. It was interesting.
And so now the two of you have this podcast. Is this like a Talking Dead situation, something that explores the most recent episode, the way Talking Dead comes on after The Walking Dead, and they go into highlights about that, or is it something independent of that?
Well, we're completely independent, and I think in this sense it was just a little bit of coincidence that we were both covering the same story, the TV show and the podcast. But the podcast, completely original content. We're going to be bringing you stories that are amazing, that are unbelievable, but really entertaining.
Okay. And I know that your first episode featured a topic about cryptids, mm-hmm. and I want to know about what cryptids are. But first, let's get to the phones. 513-419-7100 is the number to call. We've got Floyd on the line. Hi, Floyd. What's your question or comment?
Could you please add on to your new podcast about the water bear? It's all over. It can live in space. There's also a worm that flies like a corkscrew. When you take a picture of it, it looks like a black spot or streak on your film. And there's a moth also that can go, I'm sure, out in space, supposedly. When I heard about this a long time ago, they said, think about the Earth. It was all molten material. Then it cooled down. Where did all the spores for all the flora and fauna come from? Space. The other thing I want to talk about is the hole in the ozone layer. That is the actual loss of heat from the Earth, and when the sun rays come in, it's heating it up, and it's caused by high energy. Microwave repeating tires, harps, things like that, not CFCs, what they use to cool down refrigerators, nor carbon or, whatever dust.
Floyd, we very much appreciate the call, and I'm sure the gentlemen here appreciate your suggestions.
Brian, did you get all that?
I was writing them all down. Thank you, Floyd.
Yeah, thanks, Floyd. Actually, the water bear... they are fascinating creatures. That mm-hmm. My wife is a tattoo artist. She just tattooed a water bear on someone's leg.
What is a water bear?
They're microscopic creatures that look like insect bears, and they're just extremely. They can live through unbelievable conditions, such as outer space. Apparently,
but they're real.
They're real. Oh yeah, they're real. I think we probably have thousands of them on us right now.
Terrifying planet. It's just terrible. And we're going to find out about cryptids, which includes
all right.
stuff like Sasquatch. And we're going to talk about that coming up. Our discussion on Ripley's Believe It or Not. And the podcast dedicated to it continues after a short break. And later, the local institution that plays a crucial role in the delivery of Braille reading materials like National Geographic Magazine and the McDonald's menus. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition On Demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Let's continue now with our chat about the new podcast, the Ripley's Believe It or Not cast, which is dedicated to the century-old Ripley's Believe It or Not. I'm joined today by the creators of the Not cast, senior editor at Modern Machine Shop and Additive Manufacturing Magazine's Brent Donaldson, and Xavier University digital content strategist Ryan Clark. And we're also joined by WVXU radio and TV writer John Keysweater. 513-419-7100 is the number to call. You can email talk at wvxu.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. We'll look for your comments and your tweets to get some of those into the show. Okay, so the first episode of the Notcast focused on cryptids. Let's talk to the WVXU audience about what these are.
Take it, Ryan.
So cryptids are animals that are believed to exist but have not yet been proven to exist by science. So people think that they see them out there, but science has yet to recognize them as being official animals.
I had just heard the term cryptozoology for the first time on Saturday when I was listening to this very station, and we were doing the It's Been a Minute show with Sam Sanders, and one of the guys he had on had mentioned that he had an interest in cryptozoology. I'd never heard of it.
And you're like, what is this?
I know. Now we're preparing for this segment, and here it is. But that includes Bigfoot, Loch Ness Monster type things. Okay, so you open that episode with, I guess, what would happen if humans caught one of these?
Right. So one of the things that fascinated us is that, and I think we saw this in a story about the Loch Ness Monster, is that if you somehow catch the Loch Ness Monster, because of Scottish law, you have to throw it back.
Catch and release.
That's on the books.
That's on the books. And that kind of made us think, well, what else? And maybe in America, what is on the books for laws that involve cryptids? So, of course, we went to Bigfoot. That's kind of cryptid number one in America. And that took us to Skamania County, Washington, where, and that's kind of ground zero for big feet, right?
Okay.
They have a law that I believe was passed, was it in the 70s?
I think so.
That says you cannot hunt Bigfoot. So this just really intrigued us.
Well, John, there goes your summer vacation.
Well, so one of the things that you're going to find on our podcast is we're journalists and we take pride in that. We're going to track down and we're going to bring real sources onto our show so people – and we're going to ask those questions. So we found a commissioner from Skamania County and brought him onto the show and asked him about – that law and how it went into place and what he thinks about, you know, whether or not it's good to have a law for cryptids, you know, in that part of the country. And, you know, his testimony is pretty fascinating. And then what we do is we also then take it across the country and we talk to another man in the Everglades who's an advocate for their version of what they call Bigfoot. You want to talk about that?
Well, that's Brent? The skunk ape.
Yeah, I want to know about the skunk ape. I made a note to ask about what the skunk ape is.
Yeah, so they're Bigfoot-esque, 7 feet tall, covered in hair. They live in the swamps of the Everglades. They apparently smell like sulfur, according to our expert that we interviewed. Who has spent a lot of his life looking for them. He doesn't want to hunt them. He says he wants to protect them. Pretty colorful character. His name is Dave Sheely. And the thing that I think is interesting about these people that we talked to, we learned not only about so in the case of Bigfoot in Skamania County, not only the law, but we learned that people think that people have never captured Bigfoot because they're temporal beings, and you can't find any trace of them, their hair, their scat, because perhaps they travel through a time dimension portal. And so there's just those little things that, like that.
Also complicated. Yeah. But you mentioned –
allegedly.
you keep referencing that you're a journalist, and I know that you are. Mm-hmm. When a journalist seeks out an expert, maybe there's some degree of vetting required. Like, what are your credentials that make you an expert? How does this man qualify as an expert on the skunk ape?
Mm. In Dave's case, I think it was because he has based his professional life around – you know, we do take these things with a grain of salt a little bit, and there was Dave Sheely has a vested interest in people believing the skunk ape exists, right?
But has he seen it?
Well, he says he has. There's a YouTube video that you can check out on Ripley's.com that is kind of the famous Dave Sheely skunk ape sighting, and you can judge for yourself what you're seeing there. Yeah.
You can believe it or not.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Exactly. How that works out. Yeah. And that is, of course, the name of the show, Ripley's Believe It or Not, and it's got a new host on the Travel Channel, Bruce Campbell, and you all got to talk with him as well.
We did.
So how's he doing with it?
Our interview with Bruce Campbell was fantastic.
That was fun.
John, what would people know Bruce Campbell from? I had to look him up and it's like, oh, I think I remember Briscoe County Jr.
I remember Briscoe County Jr., but he did a series of films.
The Evil Dead series.
Yeah, the Evil Dead series. That's it.
Ah, okay. Yes. So that's what people know him from.
He was the character Ash, and I think people Army probably know him best for that.
Yeah.
And so what was the interview like with him? Is he excited about this new opportunity hosting this iconic brand?
He's a pretty cool guy. Like I think he's excited, but he didn't come across as overly. He loves it.
Fanboy.
Yeah.
Just needed a gig kind of thing, maybe.
But I think he kind of like us loved the books from when he was a kid and loves the idea of just something weird. And it also kind of fits his career.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's known for horror films. And so Ripley's kind of fit somewhere in that niche.
Well, how does he rate then among all the people who have hosted this? Like you mentioned Jack Palance, you've had Dean Cain has hosted the show. I think Marie Osmond hosted this series.
I didn't know that. That was new to me.
Believe it or not.
It seems like they've got a lot of variety, you know, from, you know, the old cowboy and the City Slickers movie to Marie Osmond to the New Adventures of Superman.
Well, they hit it out of the park with this one.
Yeah.
I think this was a perfect casting choice just because, like we said, it seems to follow the arc of his career and that he's done some weird stuff. And this kind of fits in. I think he would say the same thing. But not only that, he has a built-in audience that is so into what he's done they're going to watch this show even if they had no idea what Ripley's is, but they probably do.
Yep.
And John, let's talk about the history of the television brand of it. I mean, how did it first make the transition from the printed world and sort of the obscure oddities world into this medium?
Well, early on, I mean, it started in 1918, and by 32, there was the syndicated feature was in like 80 million readers. And at one point, they were getting 2 million pieces a day. So then there was an NBC radio show. There were books. Then the radio show eventually. Then they tried it as a TV show. I mean, but they've got their fingers in all different kind of things because there's now aquariums and haunted adventures and mirror mazes and as well as the auditoriums. This has just been a real machine for 100 years. And the thing that strikes me, you guys, you know, that there's this great brand. And they turned to two guys from Cincinnati to do the podcast. I mean, don't you kind of wake up sometime and say, how did this happen?
Yeah, it's pretty weird. Yeah. But the thing that I think is cool about it is you mentioned the radio show, which I think started in the 1930s, ran for 14 or 15 years. And it's just kind of fun. We're doing a podcast. It's not live radio. But being back in that tradition is super interesting. And yeah, two guys from Cincinnati. Who would have thunk?
Where are you producing it?
We were kind of hopping around different studios. We didn't have a permanent home until the past few weeks. We talked to the folks who run Herzog, the Cincinnati USA Music Heritage Foundation. And after some discussions, we now record at Herzog Studio.
So according to Keese's reporting on you guys, there's a story up on WVXU.org as well. Ryan, you got to do some traveling while writing for the Ripley site. What would you say was the weirdest experience you've had in going out and hunting down a story for them?
Well, the weirdest, I think they all kind of tie for the weirder. They all have certain elements of just being crazy, but there's a couple of favorites of mine where, one of them was McMinnville, Oregon. And McMinnville is a little town near Portland, and it's famous because a farmer took a picture of a UFO in 1947. That's the reason that they're famous. Now, at Ripley's, we don't really care that a farmer took a picture of a UFO. What we care about is that since then, they've had an annual festival celebrating that a farmer took a picture of a UFO, and millions of people come out to this town, and it really reinforces the economy every year of this little place. And it's beautiful. It's an amazing little place. And I love that. I love that story. That's the kind of story that we're interested in, the human aspect of this product of something that happened that was really allegedly kind of weird. So that's fun. There was a story in Nebraska that I did. Manawai, Nebraska. It's the only incorporated town in America with a population of one person. And
that's my kind of town.
It's an amazing little place. It's about as big as the studio that we're in right now. And it used to have a population of two people, but the woman's husband passed away. Oh. And now she's it. And she runs a little diner. Amazing cheeseburgers. You should go check it out. But and that kind of story to me is awesome. That's what I got into journalism to do, was to tell a story like that. And now to be able to do it in this podcast format is really all I could have ever hoped for, to be honest with you.
And Brent, according to Keese's article, you were the last to interview Motorcycle Daredevil Evel Knievel?
Yeah. I think so. I'm almost positive. So the story behind that is I was working for Cincinnati Magazine as an associate editor. And we were rounding up some Cincinnati moments, one of them being his famous jump of the buses at King's Island. I think that was in 75. And so tracking down Evel Knievel was by far the most difficult journalistic task I've ever had in my life. He was impossible. I finally found him. He wouldn't answer my calls. One day he picked up the phone. And he was the most curmudgeonly, like, grouchiest, grumpiest guy I've ever talked to. But as soon as we started talking about his jump at King's Island, he opened up and it was a great conversation. Yeah.
That's so cool.
And then the piece was published and he died just a few days later.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. So if you were doing a Ripley's segment about some of the weird and unexplained happenings or things in the greater Cincinnati, northern Kentucky area, what do you think would be some good areas to explore? What are some good stories or sightings?
I have one.
Well, yeah, go ahead.
This takes me across the river. Is that okay? Can I go to Kentucky?
Yeah.
I'd go to Wilder, Kentucky. I go to Bobby Mackey's Music World. And again, not necessarily because people think that's one of the most haunted places in the world.
They say the gateway to hell is in the basement.
Apparently the gateway to hell
in Wilder,
it's a big hole. It's a well, yeah. But not because of that, but because of the history of the place. The history is crazy. I mean, you know, it's a honky-tonk. It used to be owned by gangsters. There's a lot of people who have met untimely ends there, and I would like to go back and research that.
Yeah, the book about it is terrifying. I read it as a teenager and didn't sleep for the rest of middle school.
Is it called Gateway to Hell?
It's called The Gateway to Hell.
Something like that.
That's good. You got one, Brent?
Well, I was just going to say one of the trips that we've taken together, it was actually the first interview that we did for the podcast together, and this is across another state line, but what was the name of the town in Indiana?
Where is it? I can't remember. It's about an hour away.
Yeah.
About an hour away in Indiana.
We interviewed a Catholic priest who is one of the few official exorcists for the Catholic Church.
Is that Father Vincent Lampert?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I've got that noted that you're going to have him on an upcoming episode.
That's next
of the
week.
Podcast. He has performed 6 official exorcisms, and he'll share his expertise on everything the movies have gotten wrong. Leave it to the priest to correct the cinematic record. That'll be good, I think. And so we've just got about a minute left. And I mean, Ripley's now has 30, believe it or not, auditoriums. That's ODD auditoriums. 10 Ripley's Marvelous Mirror Mazes, 9 Ripley's movie theaters, 5 Louis Tussauds Waxworks. I mean, this thing is all over. It makes sense why it's on the Travel Channel. But you recommend people check these things out? What do people see at them?
Of course. I've been to the Gatlinburg facility, and you see two-headed goats, you see shrunken heads, you see little vignettes about Robert Ripley himself. There's stuff hanging from the ceiling. Yeah, it's an experience.
It's a big statue of the world's tallest man. So I had to get my daughter to take a picture with that. We still have that. Show it to everybody.
We got the two-headed calf over at the Barringer Crawford Museum, right?
I have a picture of that as well.
Yeah, that's a cool one. Yeah. Okay, Ripley's Believe It or Not airs on the Travel Channel, and you can find the Notcast on podcast platforms everywhere. Details at WVXU.org. You can find John Keysweater's article there about these guys, and click on the Cincinnati Edition tab to find links to all of the things we talked about today. Our thanks to Brent Donaldson and Ryan Clark, and TV and radio writer John Keysweater for joining us today for the conversation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. I'm Michael Monks. Subscribe to our podcast at WVXU.org.